Well, happy Sabbath, everybody. It is really good to see everybody here. Everybody survived. It's a good thing. Well, the title of my split sermon today is Day by Day, Be Grateful to God. Yeah, I was going to speak on a different topic, but after the week that we've had, it was sort of day by day. I know a lot of y'all were here last Sabbath. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, everything started picking up Sunday. But we got through it. You know, some of us that have lived here in Florida all of our lives, we've sort of been through a lot of hurricanes, but you never, ever get used to any of them, no matter what category they're in. Hurricane Irma was no exception to that. Fort Meade, where we live, took quite a beating. All the work that I've had done on my house survived. God was very merciful to us, so looking forward to coming back to finish the rest of it. So, and you know who I'm talking to out there. But it also had me rethinking, especially during the progression of the storm as it moved towards Florida. I started thinking back, and there are certain moments in your life that you can recall that really gets embedded in your memory. And I remember Hurricane Donna, but I had to look it up because I couldn't remember what year Hurricane Donna was in. That was 1960. And for you guys on the front row, I was 6 years old when Hurricane Donna hit. And where we lived was just an old country home, wood, no insulation, just regular windows, tin roof. And we wrote out the first part of that. My dad said, well, we should be able to write it out. Because back then you didn't have all the computers and all the equations and algorithms to tell you what was coming at you. But when the eye of the storm came over where we lived, my dad said, nope. There's no way we can survive the second part of this. So during the eye of the storm, here we are gathering because it's a family of six kids. Our grandmother was with us, my mom and my dad. So we all piled into this car to go to a gymnasium down in Fort Meade. That was a storm shelter. And we had to make it during the eye of the storm. Well, back then, it was just two-lane roads. And a lot of those two-lane roads had trees down, power lines down, water. So you were constantly dodging, rerouting, moving around. To say the least, we did not make it before the other side of that wall hit. So here we are during the back end of the storm, six kids. I'm 6 years old. I had two younger sisters. My mom, of course, was holding the youngest because she was only a year old. My dad, my mom, my grandmother, and the six kids, like a human chain going against this wind to get inside this gymnasium to ride out the rest of the storm. So that was really embedded in my mind, even at a young age. But, you know, sitting in the hallway during Irma, you know, my wife going, oh, what was that? Every time something would hit, what was that? Well, it's something out there, but I'm not going out there to check on it. All right, it will either be there after it's over or not. But of course, in 04, we had the back-to-back, Charlie, Francis, Jean, where Charlie came straight up, Category 3. Vividly remember those. You know, so these are memories that God means for you to retain that you can think back on. And every year, as the title says, day by day, be grateful to God. It's a reminder. Because back then, man, or even today with the imagery and satellites, they still can't pinpoint precisely where a storm is going. And we saw that. And people were committing their lives on all these projections. So as it said, it was going up the East Coast. People were heading north or heading west. And then the next one was going up the center. Okay, what side am I going to be on, right or left? Okay, now it's on the west side. Oh boy, now I've gone west. I got to go back east, or I got to go north. So you can see how people, when they commit, are they really prepared? And for us, a lot of that preparation was on our knees, going to God, seeking His protection. And that's one thing that we noticed in our neighborhood, is there were a lot of people before even after the storm. They were talking about how they had been praying to God. They were even asking us to please pray for them, and that they would be praying for us. After the storm, people were going around neighbor to neighbor. Hey, what can we do for you? What do you need? How are you doing? Did you come through okay? So you saw a lot of this togetherness, people coming together during this time. And that was a good thing. But you also saw, as you know, Mr. Keeler was talking about, you know, the bad side of things, people taking advantage of these opportunities to try to steal, you know, and do things they weren't supposed to be doing. I just want to say that we are very grateful and want to express our sincere appreciation to God. We all do. And, of course, to others for the ways that they have benefited our life. And it's times like this that really draws things to the center. It really pinpoints it for us. What is really important in this life? True gratefulness springs from an awareness of our total, and we must think about this, our total unworthiness and the inadequacy before a holy and just God. If we received what we really deserved from our sinful ways, our life, of course, we're always going to God asking for repentance, but if we really received what we deserved, I don't think there would even be a grease spot where we used to be. But God is a merciful God. If you would, for the first scripture, turn to Lamentations 3 and verse 22. Lamentations 3, verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. And thank you, Father, for that, for His compassions. Expectations of others based on a false assumption of our personal importance. You know, some people may think, well, I'm really somebody. Our personal importance destroys a spirit of gratefulness and instead produces presumption and murmurings, because they tend to think, well, I deserve a lot more. You know, why not me? Why not me? Where is my, what I need? Presumptuous and murmurings. You know, gratefulness is the foundation of a believer's walk with God. We must be grateful to God and of God's daily will for our lives. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, First Thessalonians 5, verse 18. Well, let's go to 16. Verse 16 says, rejoice evermore. During the storm, did you really feel like rejoicing? I don't know if rejoicing was the most, you know, particular word in the forefront of my mind at that moment. I really didn't feel like rejoicing a lot. Praying, oh yeah, praying a lot. But rejoice evermore. And it says in verse 17, pray without ceasing. You betcha. There was, you know, and God God answered our prayers. He really did, because what were we praying for? You know, God dissipate that storm. God turn it this way. God turn it that way. What did God do eventually? He put it over the state where it would start to lose its speed, its strength. You know, if it had stayed out over the waters on the west coast, it would have been some pretty hefty, a lot more damage than we saw. In verse 18, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. Even during a hurricane, in everything give thanks. We don't know what God's will is during that storm, but we are praying that His will be done. And God watched over us. We came through it. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. By giving thanks for all things, including the expected or the unexpected trials, those with physical infirmities or distressing situations, and we've been through that this week, trials, distressing situations. It'll be a while. We probably will not forget, but it'll take a while for us to get over it. We will pass the test of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's a test. How strong is our faith? How strong is our hope in God? And we receive the power of genuine love, joy, and peace from God to have a grateful spirit. We should be thanking God for all things that obviously benefit us, and more so benefit everyone else and others. But we should also be grateful for trials and tribulations. That's building our faith and obedience. And that's what we consider a hurricane. It's a trial, because you don't know. You know, our thoughts go out to those on the islands, because when it was a Cat 5, it again with Jose right afterwards at another Cat 5 level. Unbelievable. All things come from God's hand. All things come from God's hands. In James chapter 1, verse 17. In James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Satan the devil. He's there. We know he's there. He's going to use whatever he can within his power to try to cause us to stumble, to lose out. You know, the example of Job. Job had the wisdom to understand that all of his sufferings, ultimately came from God. In the book of Job, chapter 1, verse 21. You know, where it talks about a great wind came up and it collapsed the house that the children were in and killed them. In Job 1:21, after Job heard all this news about his flocks, his children, his servants, what does Job say? He says, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." in his trials, in that moment, he was giving glory to God. He was looking to God. And what did God do after all that Job went through? He rewarded Job and Job's gratefulness by giving him back double what he lost. These examples that we read about in the scriptures, although there may be those that doubt, there are those that are very strong in their beliefs to do what God tells them to do, what God asks them to do. Just we today, we are being asked to do what? Follow God, His commandments, His laws, His statutes, everything. And why? It's for our benefit to become a very part of God's family. God wants us to succeed. Romans 8 is a very wonderful chapter to read. If you get the opportunity, read the whole chapter. But let's go to Romans 8, 28. I was a little concerned because Fort Meade was without power until Thursday afternoon, so I was starting to sweat a little bit because I didn't go back to work until Wednesday. They had power back at the office, but when I get home, there's no lights. Really, you can't really read. You know, and try to work on a message by flashlight. You know, it gets a little, you know, rough to do that. But yeah, you go to God and you say, God, you know, help with the messages. Help us in our time of need. And God does. You know, I'm not saying God put Hurricane Irma there for us to come up with a message, you know, to utilize Irma, but it's there. Why not use that as a message, part of a message? But God did watch over us. God's will was done. In Romans 8:28, you just never know what happens in your life that's going to inspire you, that's going to cause you to think in ways that you haven't really thought about in quite a while, to renew that hope, renew the faith, renew being on your knees talking to God. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, which we do. We love God. To them who are the called according to His purpose. It's a very true statement. God's word is truth. Because even the sufferings that we go through, they're all for our benefit. They don't feel like it when it's happening, but they are. They're for a purpose. They're for our benefit. Still in Romans 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Because what we're going through now, it's nothing compared to what God has in store for us in His kingdom. Yes, it's rough. It's rough for a little while. But we'll work through it. Let's rely on one another. Let's get through this. And we will. Even the sufferings that we go through, as I've said, are for our benefit. Romans 8:29. For whom did he foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But we are to be born as well into God's family. It is for the goal of character training that we are not to resent trials. We're not to resent them. We don't like them, but don't resent them. Or tribulations, but instead to welcome them And that is a big area in our life that we have to work on. We have to be willing to welcome these trials and tribulations. We may not understand everything associated with it, but if we stay close to God, we will, at some point in our life, be able to put it together with God's help, and we will be able to understand, because they're given to help us to develop one's character. In the book of James, chapter 1 again, this time in verses 2 through 4, James 1, 2 through 4, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience." And I must admit, during this Hurricane Irma, I don't know if I had a whole lot of patience. definitely something that I personally will be working on and still have to work on until Christ returns. "But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." And it's something definitely that will be worked on in order to be to that point of being accepted. To know that we have to work at it. In Romans 5, verses 3 through 5. Romans 5, starting in verse 3. "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us." So again, for that patience, the experience, the hope. You know, sometimes you may want to just, you know, Google the hurricanes like in Florida over a period of time. Because, as I said earlier, they're just those that really stick in my mind. But I know there have been many, 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 many others in my lifetime here. But, you know, we're still here. We're still moving forward. God has called us for a purpose. He is a wonderful God. You know, love is, or should be, the greatest power on the face of the earth. And we know it will be in the future when God's kingdom is established. Christ will be here. We will be teaching that to others. Because through love, God is able to accomplish the supernatural work in our lives and the lives of others that will bring about that eternal achievement. But we've got to be careful, you know, because after everything is said and done, the storm has moved on, it's nice and sunny, puffy clouds out there. When things are over with, things are getting back to somewhat normal, we've got to be careful not to forget about God, not to be so busy that we forget to continue to go to God. And we need to be very aware of that. That the tendency is something to overcome of forgetting. We've got to be careful. We've got to stay close to God. Because, I'll ask you, after the storm had passed, did you find yourself or catching yourself saying, wow, we survived this. Things are going to return to normal. Oh, yeah. I forgot to go to God today. Ooh. Did that sort of happen to anybody? I will admit, there was a moment there. Yeah, it did. Made me ashamed to think of that, too. But, easily remedied. Go to God. You know, even when God removes the pressure of a difficult circumstance, you know, there is that tendency, and we have to be on guard to make sure it doesn't happen. We always have to be grateful and remembering that. In the book of Psalms, chapter 50, in verse 15, Psalms 50, verse 15. I'll start in verse 14. Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay your vows unto the Most High. Verse 15. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. We can consider what we just went through, a day of trouble. You know, Hurricane Harvey prior to Irma was a day of trouble. Many days. There are probably those that are still dealing with that. And there will be those in days ahead that will be dealing with Irma's effects. But we are to go to God. We are to call upon Him in the day of trouble. Because can you think back about the prayers that were being sent to God? You know, were we trying to direct God in the way that we wanted to see things happen? You know, please God, take the storm out to the Atlantic. Well, also part of your prayers were protect us, protect the feast sites, protect whatever. Well, what you just prayed for, would it take it out and hit other people? Would it hit feast sites along the coast? You know, here we're asking all these different things in our prayers, you know, protect our friends, our families. Don't let it come our way, please. You know, all these spaghetti models during the whole process were just freaking people out. You know, which way is it going? As I said earlier, people were going this way and this way, this way, this way. And we found real quick that there were no supplies of fuel. That went pretty quick. And around the beginning of the storm, then your ice, your food, your necessities. A lot of people to move out of the way in Florida. They were trying their best. But afterwards, we can see how God directed the storm's path, the way that God wanted that path to go. And what benefits can we draw from that event? Well, number one, we can draw that God's in charge. We are not. We cannot steer these storms. And they're pretty massive. We cannot do anything but go to God. And that's what we have to remember. You know, the forecasters can't do it. But also how it showed people just how massive these storms are when it drew all that water out of the bay, out of the channels. And then they were worried about all the backside of the storm to bring all that water back in. And all the massive flooding that they were expecting. Sure, there were flooding, but not of the magnitude that they were thinking. Because one thing I noticed the other day as I was getting in my vehicle to go to work, the sun was hitting me. Well, I realized, wait a minute, the sun's never shone on my face before leaving my house. So what did I do? I turned and looked to the east. I had a clear line of sight to the sun coming up. What did that tell me? Well, there used to be trees in that line of sight. And that sun would not hit me until it was much higher elevation. Well, Irma took care of that little issue there. I now have a clean line of sight straight over to the east for the sunrise. And, you know, there were a lot of trees down, but a lot of them were rotten in the center. So basically Irma did a lot of people a favor because those trees were going to come down eventually. Why not now? And do it all at once. It cleaned house. It really did. And you can tell that when you look at tree lines. You can definitely tell when you see a tree line you're used to looking at and now it's like gaps in people's tees, you know, it's just missing here, missing there, missing there. It's just very noticeable. But I think it also showed people places where they should not try to live. Floodplains, areas of easy flooding, and so forth. Of course, this is a rain event that doesn't necessarily come around a lot. But let's think, as we're wrapping up here, a genuine spirit of thankfulness to God will produce a practical thankfulness for others. And I'm sure there's a lot of you out there that's been chipping in and helping out where you can. We had the announcement about Betty Oldroyd's, you know, thing tomorrow. Chipping in, helping out. A lot of people have been doing that. A lot of first responders and everything they've been dealing with at the shelters, EMS, EMTs, doctors, firefighters, police officers. You know, my hat goes off to them. All these first responders, all these people that are putting their lives on the line out there during these storms to serve and protect. We're to be praying for them as well. But let's always give thanks to God day by day. We have to. We have to be grateful to God day by day, no matter what. So let's always place God first in this and every category of our life. He is our loving Father. So loving. But let's thank others for what they have done and for the qualities demonstrated through their actions. Because we are the light to the world. We are Christ's disciples. We understand God's truth, and we are to be practicing that. So thank you for your work. Thank you for your service. But let's also remember to tell others of the kind deeds done by specific individuals and how your life has been benefited by those deeds. I didn't really ask this lady earlier, but I'll just leave the name off. But a lot of you probably saw an announcement about one of our members who went home wondering how all this garbage and trash was going to be cleaned up out of the yard. And there was a note attached to a door from these two teenagers in the neighborhood willing to clean it up for a very small amount of money. That benefited this individual's life. That showed a serving attitude for these teenage girls. It really gave me a good feeling to read about that. That, to me, was special. Very kind deeds. And for even those that were impacted that may be lonely or discouraged, because it does, it takes a lot out of us during these type of events. Or anyone impacted by life storms, whatever that storm may be. You know, we need to, if we're aware of it, to spend that time, that special time with them to help them. But also to be like Paul in his example, when you look at some of his writings, we're to inform the people of your prayers for them. And we continue to pray for each and every one of everyone out here at the other church areas, around the world, around the nation, wherever it may be, for our families, our friends. You know, Paul was very specific, and he was very generous in writing just some of the examples, like in Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. It says, "Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." And that's a great example for us to remember, is to cease not to give thanks for you, every one of you. Because you're God's, part of God's family. Part of our family. We are family. For those listening in on the web, those in the islands, wherever you may be, we should not cease. Cease not to give thanks. Cease not to give prayers to God. So as I said, we take it day by day. That's what we have to do, day by day. But be grateful to God and to each other.
Thank you for that message. Yeah, we do also need to remember there's a lot of people still without electricity. A lot of brethren still out there without electricity, so let's keep them in our prayers. One small more announcement. Just wanted to thank everyone for their prayers for my mom. As some of you know, she had to be taken to the ER this week. She's doing, a lot better today. We want her to stay home and rest some more. So anyways, thank you all. They weren't able to find what the problem was, so maybe y'all's prayers kicking in took care of whatever the problem was. So we thank you guys so much for that. All right, well, we get to sing again. You guys are such good singers, and you just keep me coming back for more. So if we'll take our hymnals and rise, we'll turn over to page 143. We'll sing, a very fitting song for what we all have gone through this week, that we can be grateful and know that God is always with us, even through these dark and scary times, that we can be not afraid. Be not afraid, my people. Page 143. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you. And we certainly saw that this week. So let's go ahead and sing, Be Not Afraid, My People. After which we'll have the closing prayer by Deacon Moses Summers. There you go.